Howdy do, buckaroos. This is the after show with Mike and Kelly. I am your co-host today. I almost said this evening and I don't know why, because it's like super sunny here right now and it's like 3 p.m. I'm Kelly Gamont. With me, the Mike of Mike and Kelly, Cylon Media sensation, Mike T. Rose. Mike.
How are you doing, Kelly? We are Legion. I'm good. I actually, oddly enough, I was in a photograph on Facebook with a friend of mine who is also named Michael, and he posted it and he shared it, and somebody in the thread said, "This guy is none of the three people I know named Michael Rose."
And oh my gosh!
It's like, look, dude, we're everywhere. You can't escape us. That whole Orphan Black show was based on us.
There you go.
We are the inspiration. But yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing some travel, doing some this, doing some that, but, we have a lot to cover and not much time to do it.
Man, do we.
So we can start off with some thanks and some shout outs. Hello, listeners. Thank you. Thank you, Chris Fuller.
Hi, Chris Fuller.
Hi, everybody.
Info Driveway, Hi Phone Boy, and a special hello to Brittany, who I'm totally blanking on her last name, but in the show notes, I know Brittany because Brittany started listening to the Daily Observations podcast I'm on occasionally, and knows because apparently has ever seen anything I've ever posted on social media ever that I really like Star Wars, and so sent me a shirt advertising Ray's salvage service. They accept Portion Pal. It's the best thing. So I need to let you guys know about this. It's going to be in the show notes. You totally need to go get one.
That's crazy.
It comes in. Here's even the best bit. Like,
what
Portion Pal
bit?
Totally sold me on the shirt, but there's men's and women's. So you can get a girl shirt with all your Star Wars on it, which makes me inordinately happy. And it's very exciting. I've spent a lot of my life not being able to get, you know, the girl version of something. And so I sort of had to live with like the square cut t-shirt or whatever. And it's really exciting to me when I can get one that's like made for girls. And so I need to. So I'm excited about it. You guys should go get them. I will make sure there's a link in the show notes. It's an awesome shirt. I love the print. It's amazing. And that's it. So I want to make sure to give Brittany a shout out. So hi, Brittany.
Hi, Brittany. And also hi to Kelly O'Coin. Thank you for listening, Kelly, star of Stage and Screen. And also a shout advance to Chris DeGore, who is starting his own podcast in the Salesforce ecosystem. Ho. So, Chris, congratulations, congratulations. And we're rooting for you, and hopefully that will go well. So I think that's all the shout outs for this week. But
well, hi Javi.
Hi Javi, of course, always hi Javi. I mean,
because a girl can dream.
So we're gonna work our way backwards in time across the landscape of things that we wanted to talk about. And the first thing, meaning the most recent thing as we record now on July 1st, mm-hmm. Well, most importantly, Happy Canada Day. Happy Canada Day, listeners. Happy Canada Day to all Canadians everywhere.
Happy Canada Day.
And unfortunately, it looks like we have to say goodbye to the retail operations of New York City's legendary, independent authorized Apple reseller.
They're so legendary that like in the earliest days of the internet, it was something that I had heard about, and I'm a West Coast person. I never actually got to go there, but even I know about it all the way from over here.
So we are speaking, of course, of TechServe, TechServe. TechServe began as a completely different business. They began repairing audio equipment and high-end audio equipment and video equipment, and they were sort of positioned at the beginning of the desktop revolution. Company's been in business for 27 years and actually has a it's not, it's one of those situations where it's not going out of business because it's not doing well. It's actually that the non-retail portions of the business that grew up over the years, small and medium business support, corporate sales, iPad integrations, they actually have a huge business in doing iPad implementations for industry. If you've ever flown into airports, in the New York area, and I think elsewhere as well, where the company OTG manages the guest experience for restaurants and the retail, where they have all the iPads sitting up at as sort of mini kiosks in the waiting areas and at the gates, and where you can order food directly from them. So that was a big TechServe project. They've been a video integrator for years and years. They were an authorized implementer for XServe and for XSAN. They've done everything, and actually those back of house businesses are going strong. So they're going to continue with the small and medium business part, the consulting part, the corporate sales part, all that's going on. But in fact, the equation of retail sales versus retail rents, storefront rents in New York City, just is no longer working for them. So as of the middle of next month, they're going to stop taking in repair and service jobs at their epically well-known service desk, service counter. And then in later in August, the retail store will actually close. So this is a very tough thing for a lot of East Coast and New York Mac fans to stomach. It's a major step in the corporatization of our little corner of the technology universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're an institution. There's no two ways about it.
No. And it's sad to see them go. They were one that I was, like I said, I was sort of marginally aware of even out here, because they were one of the examples of like the Apple store before Apple ever had a retail arm. Mm-hmm. And so like people would talk about, when they went to Macworld New York, they would get the opportunity to like take this pilgrimage to TechServe as like a store that you could walk into and buy a Mac or buy software for it or buy cables and adapters and bits and pieces and all of the sort of ancillary
scuzzy
stuff.
Hard drives. You could buy a black scuzzy Terminator for your Mac 2 FX at TechServe. And I know this because I did.
I was going to say, ask me why I know.
Ask me how I know. I just know.
Yeah,
you could get
scuzzy Terminators. Oh.
Well, and you'll recall, get off my lawn, that the Mac 2 FX required a special black Terminator.
It did.
It would not work with the standard gray Terminator. It needed, I believe, what later came to be known as forced perfect termination. But at the time, that was actually scuzzy fast and wide. It couldn't possibly matter any less. The point is, it needed a special widget. You needed a special widget if you were going to use SCSI with the 2FX, and
you needed
it was hard
an
to
extra
find.
Special widget, because the special widget didn't work, and
yes.
It's not like the special widget was particularly easy to come by. I almost called it the special idget, and I was not entirely wrong.
TechServe.
Seriously,
as some listeners may know, Kelly certainly does, that I worked for 12 years at a New York City marketing and events agency, and we at MJM depended on TechServe. Like I can't think of another vendor that was more crucial to what we did, because we often needed to source machines, we needed to get replacements, we needed to get stuff serviced in a hurry. It was an incredibly deadline driven business, and often as not, this was 24 out of 48 hours out from people flying to Tokyo or Brazil or wherever and having to put on a show. And from going back at least to the Pismo and some of the early PowerBook G3s, I think when I got there, I think we were just past the blue iBook stage, and we were onto the white iBooks at the time.
Yeah.
But we had Pismos, and we had, we had every flavor of laptop and PowerBook you could imagine. We had G4s, we had G3s, we had G4s, we had G5 towers, a lot of G5 towers. We bought a ridiculous number, ridiculous number of flat panel iMacs from that company, using many of them dual boot Windows machines back when boot camp was in beta and a thing you simply didn't do.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And we had the same account rep with that company for at least the 12 years I was there. So Sandy Trapp, if you're listening, we love you and we appreciate everything you did for us.
Hey, Sandy.
Matt Paleologos, who worked at MJM, actually went subsequently to work at TechServe and help run their video consulting and their Final Cut and their XSAN practice. Lori Duncan, friend of the show and MJM employee, actually at one time was the service lead, ran the service operation at TechServe, which... That takes a lot of coordination and savvy, and she did it extremely well. Currently, Mark Chesler, who's a friend of mine, is the marketing lead over there, and he's going to continue there with T2, with the corporate sales and the consulting arm. But it's, you know, about 70 people are going to be losing their jobs. It's hard to imagine that independent Apple resellers in Manhattan have held on as long as they have, given the fact that there are 5 Apple stores in the New York City area.
Yeah.
In fact,
at, like, notable ones.
Yeah, and they're not far away. There's one that is a 10-minute walk from TechServe. But let's see, you got 1, 2, 3, 4... 4 in Manhattan, 5 in Manhattan, at least 4 in Manhattan, 1 in Staten Island, and another one coming to Brooklyn, coming to Williamsburg very soon. It's very, very hard to understand how you stay competitive in that environment. And it's frustrating for me because I love that institution. I love the people. I love the Mac Museum, and it's going to be hard to see it go, but...
And if you guys want to know what kind of impact we're really talking about here, I know you guys think that, like, maybe we're overstating this a little bit. The fact that it is closing was covered by a piece in the New York Times.
Mm-hmm. TechServe appeared more than once, I believe, on Sex and the City. It was a plot point on Seinfeld, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
I think it was. We'll check on that. We're gonna get back to you on that. But it's definitely qualifies as an institution. So if you're going to be in the New York City area between now and the middle of August, and you feel like making a little pilgrimage, head on over to 23rd Street, go visit TechServe, go in, buy something, buy a SCSI Terminator, just cause. tell them the after show sent you, and that you want all the Force Perfect Terminators they have. And if they can give them to you with a bucket of gels, that'd be great. No, you get yourself a hard drive, get yourself an iPhone case, buy a lovely microphone. They do, or did at least, carry the Bluetooth gloves, the ones where you can hold up your thumb and pinky to your head.
Yes.
I'm going to buy myself a pair of those just because I can. They have the...
Please pick up a pair for me as well. I really need some.
They have the Bluetooth old-style phone handsets. They have...
Which is awesome.
They got great stuff. So I don't know how much stock they're going to be having over the next couple months, but, you know, go in, pay your respects, get yourself a bottle of Coca-Cola, and take a ticket from the machine. You'll hopefully have taken a little bit of the TechServe experience with you. So
I hope so.
So speaking of endings.
Yeah, because we've got a couple to talk about. And so this is another one that's kind of a bummer. For people who may not be aware, there's another closing that is happening after these many years. And kind of the sad thing to me about it is that now that they're gone, I still don't really know how to actually say their name. MacNN?
MacNN is correct.
I think?
Yeah.
So now I know how people felt when they used to come up to us and go, so your site. Yes.
How does
Tua,
one say that?
Tua, yes.
How,
like, you're almost
pronounce
a Marine.
That?
Okay.
I believe it stood for Mac News Network originally.
It did.
Yes.
Yeah. Like CNN, but for Mac News.
Yeah.
And they were basically like the third one. And I know that sounds weird, but Tidbits has been around forever and ever.
Yes.
Macworld has been around forever and ever.
Macintouch has been around forever and ever, by the way.
Macintouch?
Macintouch.
And according to the article, MacNN says Tidbits and Macworld are older.
Yep. I think Macintouch may be approximately... So they say, they're saying spring of 95. Hold on, clackety clack.
So while you clack, MacNN over at MACNN.com is closing down as of today,
goodness
the 1st
gracious.
Of July.
Goodness gracious.
It's a bummer. And the reason it's a bummer is because they were one of the reliable places back in the day, in the early days of the internet, when like... when people basically thought of the internet as Netscape and that was it, because that was really all there was. That's basically it. So they're winding down. You can see some information that's going to be posted by them, like recollections and things from different contributors through the years, over the last little while, I think. And there you go. And so, it's kind of a bummer. And like, you know, part of it is just that the market has evolved away from things like this, but you know, because so much Apple news is picked up by like mainstream media, there's a lot of other things that cover Apple news. It's really easy to get Apple news from a lot of other places, and so that competition is sort of hard.
Yeah.
I know Mac Observer is a very old website.
Mac Observer is very old. So Macintouch has been around, also, believe it or not. And this is, I think, a little hard to believe, since 1985.
Mm.
So yeah, that's 10 years older.
Yeah.
Now, I think that may include some email news, as it does with Tidbits.
Email newsletter,
well,
yeah.
I think that's also true of Tidbits. So I think you go back to the original publication being an email, a pre-web, pre-web content, the PWC. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there are
before websites were a common thing.
Before websites, so back when we all gophered our ways and found our data the hard way through Telnet and walked uphill through the bytes both ways, and we but there aren't that many, and you know
there really aren't.
We salute MacNN. I can certainly say that we weren't always on the best of terms. with them when we were in the Mac News business. There's always a spectrum of, shall we say, original content to content curation to you know, the end of the axis being, you know, flat out scraping. And I think it was fair to call MacNN primarily an aggregator, primarily a content curator. But they're, you know, it's all just a question of added value and what kind of persona you give to the information. Because at base, with some exceptions, I mean, well, certainly with a lot of exceptions, but in terms of things like, you know, this the core news stuff, new versions of this, updates to that, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
They always did have a enough voice and enough spin and enough of a perspective, certainly over so many years, to make it worthwhile reading. So
yeah.
I certainly will miss it, and it's disappointing to see another outlet close down.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing. So we've talked about things that are going away.
Yes.
And I'd like to talk about some things that are new on the scene,
by all
or
means.
More specifically on my wrist.
Oh,
So Apple makes one of them their timepieces, and
I know it does.
My house got some.
Did they really?
Yes.
Your house of crackpot theories, or your actual physical house?
No, my actual house.
Okay.
Mr. Kelly got one, and I got one.
It would be interesting to see what would happen if the house of crackpot theories got Apple Watches, which were the subject of many of the residents of the House of Crackpot Theories.
Well,
over
you know what would happen is they'd show up and they wouldn't have headphone jacks and everybody would lose their cool mind.
It doesn't play Og. No external storage. Lame. Boy. Anyway.
The question I have yet to answer about my Apple Watch is, will it play Doom? I assume the answer is yes, but I don't know that for sure because I haven't actually tried. So it's been, for me, it has been useful. I was unprepared for the battery hit on my phone. That's kind of where I'm at.
That's interesting.
And I've ratcheted notifications way down and all that kind of stuff. One thing I have noticed is that it has made me a little bit less likely to carry my phone around. Like, I work from home, mm-hmm. so I sort of migrate around the house. Like, I sit at my desk, and then and my house is three levels. So, like, I go to the middle level where the kitchen and everything is and, like, eat lunch and different things like that. And sometimes I have to go all the way upstairs to where the bedrooms are for different things. And so, like, when I bounce around the house for stuff, I find that I'm less panicky if I don't have my phone, because if something does happen, right, my watch has it.
Yep.
So I have enjoyed that. I have liked Siri sometimes will not pop up for me. I have noticed maybe 25% of the time. It's not like it's a lot of the time. I will raise it and I will say, hey, and it will sometimes like act like it didn't hear me at all. Or sometimes it'll go, yes, I'm listening. And I'm like, I already told you, like, why? But that's usually around the house. Like, if I'm in the car, somehow that seems to be more reliable, which I don't get. But I do find it very, very easy to use. And one of the things that I think is sort of undercovered, I suppose, one of the things that I think people don't notice as often, and this is more of that disparity stuff that we hear so much about, is that even for, I know that for a female human being, I have sort of a low voice, and I have now that doesn't mean I don't have the capability for super high. Ask anybody who's ever talked to me about something and I've gotten really worked up about it. I can go full beaker, you know, any moment.
It can happen.
But that being said, even with as low a voice as I have, voice recognition before Siri was basically crap for me. It would never understand what I was saying. That same voice recognition is what basically every 800 number that you have to call uses when it's like, tell me about your problem so I can get you to the right person.
Mm-hmm.
those never work for me.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I've heard about that is that it's because they basically can really only understand men's voices. And so for me to have a voice recognition system that understands me is very exciting. And I know that I have a certain, I have very little accent and I'm an American. And so all of the features are available to me. And because I don't have a very thick regional accent of any sort, Siri picks up a whole lot of the stuff that I can say and the things that I can tell it to do. And so for me, it's a very, very useful thing. I know a lot of people complain about it, but to go from zero to something that can understand me at all, let alone understand me basically most of the time, is very, very exciting. So
it's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I have enjoyed about the watch. And I do want to give a shout out to not yet a sponsor, Moco, an accessory maker that makes some really nice watch bands. They make all kinds of accessories for things. They make tablet cases. Mm-hmm. Mr. Kelly has a Moco case on his iPad, and I have one on my Android tablet, and they make phone cases, and they make some watch accessories, and some of their watch accessories are good stuff. So I just want to point those out.
So,
and that's M-O-K-O.
M-O-K-O.
You can find them on Amazon and things. I'm currently rocking their blue, sport band, and it was not $50. It was not $25. It was $10.
That's not
bad. That's not like a secret price or anything. That's just the price.
That's just
that
how
it
much
is.
It costs. Yeah. You know, I am still on my watch wearing the standard sport band, which still remains the only, I mean, and I think we talked about this when I got it last year. I like watches. I enjoy wearing watches. I've never been able to wear a watch for more than, say, 6 months, or actually much less. Consistently, day-to-day wear, I've never been able to go past, you know, two months at a time, because either the watch band becomes unbearably sort of smelly and unpleasant, mm-hmm. or I get contact dermatitis from the watch or the band. Like, that happens all the time with any watch band, with any watch band I've worn, because I have sensitive skin. And this watch has not done that. And I've worn it essentially every day since I got it. And that's, to me, that's like, even if it were only like a coating that you could put on regular watches, that would be remarkable. But yeah. The fact that you can talk to this one and send it messages and pay for things, holy crap. I mean, I will say, I don't get as many funny looks in Manhattan, but in my neighborhood in Brooklyn, I'm apparently the first guy to walk into Walgreens or, you know, the deli or the, you know, the Dunkin' Donuts or whatever, and pay mm-hmm. for things with my watch. Apparently, oh, yeah. The first one. And this is just, you know, last week. And they're all like, oh, how'd you do that? That's pretty cool. What app is that? The best is, what app is that? I'm like, it's not. It's a thing. It just does it.
iOS. Yeah.
But the thing that is fascinating is something that has been brought up a couple times in the press, and that I'm noticing more and more now post the EMV, the liability shift, as more and more retailers are pushing for chip authentication. There is a solid 15-second differential between paying with the chip card and paying with the watch. It's just like between getting out your wallet, getting out the card, swiping the card by mistake, error on the screen that says, "Oh no, we need the chip now." And it's the same retailer, by the way, that didn't need the chip a week ago. So you never really know. Like you'll go to the payment terminal and you'll go to stick it in, and it'll be like, "No, we don't do the chip." Okay, you swipe. Then you come back the next week, and it's, "Oh no, now you got to do the chip." So mm-hmm. This is a point in time issue. But get out the wallet, swipe. Oh, can't swipe. All right, put the card in. Wait. Okay, approve the amount. Okay, great. All right, now you have to sign. Okay, great. Now pull your card out and put it back in your wallet. That is easily five times as long as it takes to pay with the watch.
And the other thing about it that makes me inordinately happy is technically I'm not using my credit card.
It doesn't feel like paying for something.
No. It's because that way the breach becomes less of a problem, because I'm not carrying around, because I think this is a misconception that a lot of people have, is that you scan your credit card for Apple Pay, and so they think you are literally walking around with your 16-digit number
on that
and
watch.
A verification code, like, yeah,
but you're not.
On the screen of your phone, and that's totally not what's happening. So if you know people who are saying, like, I don't want to carry my credit card around on my phone, like, that's not what you're doing.
Yeah.
And we'll have a link in the show notes to where a piece I wrote that breaks down how all of that security works.
Yep.
So that you actually know, like, it is safer than getting out your actual credit card and swiping it or putting it in the chip thing
and
or whatever.
If your watch is is stolen and you want to simply disable payments on the watch,
yeah,
you don't have to go and get a new credit card.
Right.
You haven't lost the card. The card number hasn't been compromised. Nothing has happened to the card. So you can manage your devices that are enabled for Apple Pay to whatever degree you need to, without actually going back to your card issuer and saying, I need a new card.
Right.
Which, as one of us knows, is a giant pain in the ass. So I want to give a moment's alert something that I'm looking forward to, which will transition us nicely into a brief discussion of the dub. One of the next big apps that's coming with the next version of watchOS. Oh, the mm-hmm. other thing I meant to say is that I did also use my watch for a boarding pass for the first time yesterday,
which
caused the gate agent in Boston to say, "Ooh, aren't you fancy?" which was awesome.
I wanted to, but when we went to Dub Dub, which was the last time I needed a ticket, I actually got to take Mr. Kelly with me. And so on the way home, we couldn't get seats together. So when we went to the gate, they had to print us out actual paper boarding passes.
Separate passes,
like.
Yeah.
cavemen.
Like flying cavemen.
Like flying cavemen.
Okay, that's the show title.
That's the... I was just about to type that show title, Flying Cavemen.
Just like Flying Cavemen. It was going to be Manception, which wouldn't have made sense to anybody anyway. But now, actually, well, actually, it's going to be just like Flying Cavemen.
I see what you did there.
So yes, I used it as a boarding pass, which is great. But the next big app, one of the next big apps that's coming with the next version is Breathe, which is a meditation app for the watch, which is on some level deeply ironic because here is the most attention-sucking thing, or not the most attention-sucking thing, that would be the phone, but the most interrupting, you know, interrupting cow says moo, the most interrupting...
I was just going to say, knock, knock.
Yeah. The most interrupting Apple tech there is. And it now is going to have a brief breathing meditation session. But I bring it up because I'm looking forward to it. But B, I bring it up because at Computer World, the WWDC coverage, Computer World's article about this describes the app as featuring a blue-green Mandela graphic. I know what Johnny meant to say was a blue-green mandala, but the idea...
I'm looking forward to a blue-green Mandela graphic. So that's going to be amazing.
A little green Nelson Mandela appears on your watch, and every and, time like, you look you at it, you say, what? I don't understand. Why is that supposed to relax me? Zombie Mandela not relaxing.
No, because he's telling you to chill.
He's telling you to chill.
How could you not listen?
Mandala. It is a mandala graphic, not a Mandela graphic. So
I'm a little disappointed in the Breathe app already.
It is unreleased and yet already frustrating.
I'm a little bummed. It does not deliver the promised Mandela 1-star.
I was expecting a Mandela graphic and I got this stupid flower thing 1-star. Well, but the thing, you know what the thing is about that Mandela graphic? You don't have to pay for it. It's free. Thank you. I'm here all week. Try the veal. Oh, God, that was awful. That was a combination of a dad joke and I'm an old person who grew up in the 80s joke. That was awful.
That was really... Oh. No, it was well played.
Thank you. It was terrible.
It was terrible. It was a terrible joke, to be sure, but it was very well played.
The setup was a long way to go for a free Nelson Mandela joke, but still.
That's true. I'll give you that.
Free Nelson Mandela with every pair of iPod socks. Anyway.
Then it got weird.
And if we had to pinpoint the moment where it got weird, that would
be it. Well, we know the moment when it got weird. It was, you know, damn you autocorrect theater. So that's when it got weird.
So let's talk about WWDC in the few moments we have left, because you got to be around it,
adjacent. Yes.
You were WWDC adjacent.
I was WWDC adjacent.
A lot of great announcements. So give me the lowdown.
So the new watchOS is coming. New macOS. It is no longer letter O, letter S, space X, space 10 dot something. We're going to go back to calling it macOS, which is what I always called it. And so it's not going to be macOS 10 version 10.97 or whatever we end up with. It's just going to be macOS 10.11, macOS 10.12. The new one's going to be called Sierra for the Mac.
Okay.
We know that. Very little Eddie Q, let alone Eddie Q dancing or singing, which was a sort of interesting keynote. I have to say, again, as we talked about, you know, old school Mac stuff, I remember having to go to extraordinary lengths to see some of the keynote events and see some of the live streaming. And what I love about the Apple TV now is that you get this channel that like pops up and then you can watch previous ones while you wait for the current one. And then the current one is live streamed through this particular app or channel, depending on what generation of Apple TV you have. Wow. And you can watch it live, and it's fantastic. And you can also replay it later. Like once it's finished, they will put up a replay and then you can like watch it at your leisure. So if you are somebody who doesn't have access during the day, for example, you can go watch it, you know, that evening or like over the weekend or whatever you want. And I believe you can also get the videos from the conference the same way because those are freely available. And it was really great to talk to people who were there and attending. It was a lot of fun to meet some people. I was there to help fundraise for App Camp for Girls, which was great. We had a fantastic time, and I was also there to celebrate Smile Software's birthday. Smile Software is 10 years old, and so is 1Password also this year, both 10 years old. So that was a lot of fun to get to do, and I got to see a bunch of people that I normally don't get to see, particularly even, you know, less often because Macworld doesn't happen anymore. So there's not a lot of convergence of a lot of those folks all in the same place anymore. So it was really fun to get a chance to talk to David Sparks and Dave Hamilton. These are the Daves I know. These are the Daves I know. And which is actually what I said to Mr. Kelly when I was introducing him. And I said, look, these are the Daves I know. And I was like, Daves. And then, of course, that's the first thing that leapt into my head was Kids in the Hall from, you know, 20 years ago. So it was a lot of fun to get to talk to people. I also got to like a moment to talk to different people like Michael. Oh, gosh, I'm going to forget his name. Fantastic Cow Flexibits.
Michael Simmons.
I got to talk to him. I was very excited to get a chance to talk to him. And one of the reasons I was excited to talk to him was he actually walked up to me and said, hey, Kelly, I just wanted to let you know I really appreciate all your support for Fantastic Cal over the years. And I said, aww. I really appreciate that you made something awesome that makes it really easy for me to talk about because, you know, I love it because it's great. Like, you know, like it's a very easy thing for me to be a super supporter of Fantastic Cal because it is fantastic. Like it's right there in the name.
Michael has been involved with, he's been involved with many of your favorite products. You may not realize it, but he's also one of the part of the team that's responsible for DJ.
Yeah.
So the core developers, the guys that live in Germany, and Michael is the U.S. marketing and other representative for them. So he's been involved in a lot of great products. He's like Russell Simmons except for the Mac world.
But he totally cousin. Like he when he came up to me he came up and told me specifically that he appreciated my support for Fantastica. I knew he had done stuff with DJ. But it was really nice to have to get a little bit of validation out of that. It was really nice to see Chuck Joyner in person. It was really nice to talk to Judy Chen, who's the one of the organizers of AltConf, which happens at the same time as WWDC. It was a super bunch of fun to get to do the stuff we got to do. I actually got to be a conditional breakpoint while I was there, which was super duper fun. For people who don't know, James Dempsey has a band, E-I-E-I-O. James Dempsey has a band called The Breakpoint, James Dempsey and The Breakpoints. He has an album on iTunes that is really... Like the more into Apple and Apple development in particular you are, the funnier his album is. So he has an album, like one of the songs is about accessibility and putting it in your app. And he has a song called I Love View. And it's a lot of sort of programming humor and things like that. But when he goes places, sometimes he will invite other people to join him on stage. And when he does, those people are conditional breakpoints. So I learned a few chords on the ukulele and I got up on stage and I got to play on the Leaky song, play the ukulele. And it was a lot of fun. And I got to be a conditional breakpoint. I was super excited about that. And we had a huge fundraiser for App Camp for Girls. And we did super awesome, I thought. We did it like we packed the theater. The tickets were sold out. And we had a lot of fun throwing the party, having people show up. It was really, really great. And we cleared, I think, I want to say it was $31,000 in the fundraiser.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. Last year we did like 15 and change. So this year we did twice that. And last year's money is what helped fund the two new locations that we are doing this year, which are Phoenix and Orange County. Orange County being run, of course, by David Sparks' wife, which is fantastic. I'm super excited that we have two new locations this year. We want to have new locations next year. If you're somebody who's interested, by all means, you can get in touch with me. You can go to the website and fill out the contact form at appcampforgirls.org. And if you do that, I get all those emails. They all come to me because I'm the person who answers everything. So like, if you have any questions, if you want to or know someone who wants to build App Camp in your location, please let me know. We need sponsorships. We in areas where people want to have camp, we need places to have camp. We need developers who can be team leads for the product, for the projects, for the week, and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, hit me up, because we want App Camp to be everywhere, and the way that we do that is with your help. So if you are a person who wants to make sure that App Camp happens where you are, then let me know.
Hit Kelly up. We have to call it mostly an evening or a night at this point as we head into the big holiday weekend. But a happy Canada Day to everybody. A happy and a safe 4th of July. Please do not set any part of your anatomy on fire.
That has a known incompatibility with being able to text people later.
You have to use your nose. If you have to use your if you end the weekend having to use your nose for Touch ID, you know, you're doing it wrong. That's not how this works. That's not how any of it works.
That's not how any of this works. Yes.
Anyway, we wish you all the best for the weekend. Kelly, where can the peoples find you?
You can find me on Twitter as Verso, and you can find me recording one of a number of other podcasts, depending on when those actually start going live. And you can also find me usually on Wednesdays on Daily Observations, the Daily Observations podcast over at macobserver.com.
And people can find me at Mike T. Rose on the Twitters and in general, and also, of course, at aftershowpodcast.com and at @the_aftershow on Twitter. And you will be able to find me in person at MacStock. MacStock.com, which is going to be the weekend of July 17th, whatever that weekend is. Let me look at the calendar. Let me look at an actual calendar. The weekend of July 16th. So yes. MacStock will be in Crystal Lake in the greater Chicagoland area. I believe there are still slots available. Many of your favorite Mac personalities will be there. I am looking forward to crashing some sessions, as is my habit.
I'm looking forward to you FaceTiming me from some of those sessions.
I will FaceTime Kelly from the sessions, but please, if you're there and you listen to the show, or even if you're there and you don't listen to the show, come on over and say hi. I am looking forward to seeing many of my tribe, my Macworld tribe. I certainly don't get to see people enough, so this is going to be a fun bit of time away, and I get to be out in the middle of Illinois in the middle of July, so I will probably be
melty.
The approximate consistency of a chicharrone. So if you see that guy, tell him you said hi. For my partner in crime is Kelly Guimont. I'm Michael Rose. Thank you for listening. We will be back soon on The After Show.